This morning, I would like to speak to you about the meditations, and particularly in the sitting, walking, and standing postures. I would also like to speak to you about working with the breath, with the pain that arises, with the tiredness, etc. And I heard from Kathy and Yanai that the great majority of people came to the first sittings of the day. To say I heard, I did not see. And others took some extra rest. So this morning with the meditation in the sitting posture, and firstly, you, for those of you who are sitting, you may have to explore pain a little bit more than many other yogis in other parts of the world. And when I was at flying with El Al, I was speaking to one of the passengers, and she said to me, "You can get anything you want in Israel," with great passion. Well, there is one thing you apparently you can't find in Israel, and that is what is called K-pop. Many of you won't even know what K-pop is. I don't even know what it is. But in the Buddhist tradition, you have these cushions, and there is stuffing that goes inside the cushions. The stuffing is called K-pop. On my previous visits to Israel, people have been using their armchair cushions instead of the meditation cushions. So in January of this year in Bodh Gaya, I asked the local tailor to make about 100 covers, and I said to friends, "Please send to Israel so they can have less pain in their sittings." So the cushion covers arrive, and friends have searched this whole country for K-pop. This is crisis. Israel has no K-pop. So as a result, you have cushions, and honestly, cushions and meditation, armchair cushions and meditation cushions, are a completely different species. So you're trying to do something. So I mention all of this out of compassion. So when I return to England, I will talk to the K-pop company that provides for our meditation cushions at Gaya House, and perhaps we can start a export-import business for the Israeli yogis. We'll see. So having said that, what does help in the sitting meditation is that usually the back side is a little bit higher to give a little uplift to the body. And I understand that the because it's a ballet room floor, the floor is relatively soft, which is helpful, that you're not having to sit on cement and things. And a small support for the sitting meditation is if the hips, these hips, just rolled forward a little bit, and that uplifts the stomach and the chest area and helps to bring out the posture there. It's quite fine and okay to use the non-existent chairs And I understand the staff are cleaning some chairs and they will come here during the morning. And so some of you may prefer to use cross-legged posture on the floor, wonderful. And some may prefer to use chairs, equally as important. And with the sitting posture, usually it takes a little while for the body just to get used to the sitting. And with the sitting posture, there is also the general emphasis, and a very important one, that is being here and now. It's the mantra of insight meditation, you could say, to be here and now, for the simple reason that this is where our life is, right here, right now. It's not in the past, it's not in some other place, and it's not in the future. And sometimes, and very easily in life, we forget this, and our minds can spend more time in what was, more time thinking and speculating about what will be or might be, and more time in some other place or environment or projection or fantasy. And we can easily find ourselves living in a kind of pseudo-reality, an imagined reality, a projected reality. And the teachings say the immediate reality is the most authentic. The immediate moment is the most valid. And that the here and now is the doorway to realization, the doorway to incredible discovery, the doorway to enlightenment, the doorway to a free life. So we emphasize, maybe ad nauseum, but anyway, we emphasize, be here and now. You know, one of the much loved popular teachers of the United States, some of you will know, Ram Dass, produced a book in the early 1970s after going to India to visit his, spend time with his teacher, Nim Kroli Baba, and he produced a book called Be Here and Now. It sold millions. If everybody who read that book and knew that title practiced what they read, United States would be a completely different world to live in. So it's easy to, oh yeah, be here and now. What a good idea. Much better than living in the past or living in the future. But it's not meant to be a good idea, it's meant to be a priority. Priority in life. So that when you and I look to the past, we look for learning, we look for insight, we look to be informed. When you and I turn our attention to some planning that we have to do, it's just a little bit of movement of mind, so that our day in life is really in touch with today. We really feel the presence of today as the primary experience. And much to discover. So first we give care to the posture, and then we make the priority, first priority, to be here and now. And the support for that is mindfulness of breathing, to be aware of the in-breath and to be aware of the out-breath. 2,500 years ago, the Buddha said, of all the meditation methods which are available for human beings, he said, I regard mindfulness of breathing as being the most valuable. So, who am I to argue with the voice? So, in mindfulness of breathing, it contributes to calmness, to reducing stress and tension, to harmony of body and mind, to knowing the movement of our mind when we are not with the breath, to being aware of organic life, to acknowledging everything comes and goes, so the breath comes and goes, to really seeing life clearly. And our practice and our meditations, posture, being here and now, being with breathing. And it might well be that the first important experience of our life was our first in-breath, and it might be that the last major experience of our life is our last out-breath. And when our last out-breath comes, may it come with calmness and with clarity and with inner peace. Many times in life, the breath is very important as well. Sometimes you and I are under pressure. Sometimes there is something which can trigger fear or anxiety. Sometimes somebody is yelling abuse at us. Sometimes there is a situation where it is important to keep our mind very clear. All of those times are times when it's helpful to remember to breathe. Breathe in and breathe out. And some, as I see one person here, will know within the next month that in breathing in and breathing out, it's very helpful to deal with any pain that might come when breathing in and breathing out and bringing a new being into the world. All helping to breathe and relax in the here and now. And I remember when I became a father, exactly 17 years and 1 week ago, that my partner, Gwenwyn, had 43 hours of labor. So we were doing mindfulness of breathing in and out together. Sometimes I didn't know if she was having the baby or if I was having the baby, but anyway. So breathing in and breathing out, an invaluable resource in for situations. But the resource of mindfulness of breathing will only be available when we practice mindfulness of breathing. When we practice it. So here we have during today and into tomorrow plenty of meditations in the sitting posture, breathing in and breathing out. With the mindfulness of breathing, in the general instructions that we give, to be aware as the air comes in through the nose, goes down into the throat, down into the lungs, so that when you and I are breathing in, we feel the incoming breath, feel the body expand. When we breathe out, we feel the exhalation, namely feel the next in-breath and the next out-breath, and plenty of relaxation on the outgoing breath. So we breathe in, feel the breath going out, and just relaxing with the exhalation, just as a real practice for calmness, steadiness and presence. With the mindfulness of breathing, we feel the air, as I say, going in through the nose, past the throat, going into the lungs. When you're breathing out, feeling the body relax. Quite often, and many people report, that it's on the out-breath that the mind easily wanders and drifts away. So we're with the in-breath, and the out-breath, extra care with the exhalation. Sometimes, even with the good intention, we sit in mindfulness of breathing and very quickly can begin to feel very tired. And of course, there can be many reasons for the tiredness. That may be due to busyness of life, may be due to overwork, maybe due to stress in one's life, traveling to be in a new place, sleeping and sharing a room with others, climate, time of the month, of course, many factors can affect the energy in the body. So if you find that you sit and instead of the practice towards awakening, it seems to be the practice towards sleepening, then my small suggestion is, if possible, just to keep the eyes open for a little while. Sometimes the centimeter between lifting of the flesh of the eyelid seems to be a journey too far, and one sits and closes the eyes, and then it's quickly deep sleep, and rather than deep meditation. And so sometimes people tell me, they new people on a retreat, they see somebody like this, and then the person is like they're starting off as a Buddha, and then they close their eyes and they like this. And sometimes new people look around and they see people like this. Gosh, such deep meditation so quickly. Well, it's deep coma rather quickly. So with the meditation that arises, then if we're feeling rather tired, then keeping the eyes open. And when you, one of the, we should get danger money for sitting up here, I think. I'd fall asleep here, we could do a nosedive, and it would be rather a pity to make our last breath on the retreat, but anyway. So, might be a good idea actually, anyway. So again, with the mindfulness of the breathing, if we're feeling tired, we keep the eyes open for a little while, which is what is encouraged in the Zen tradition, of course. Sometimes to put the hands on top of the head, sometimes raise the arms. All of this can help the energy to flow a little bit more easily. In the monastery, my old teacher Ajahn Damodaro, he used to insist that in the sitting meditation, that having got the posture right, and we didn't have any kind of cushions, I might add, we just had bamboo mats to sit on, and one never knew when the sitting would end, which was sometimes a nightmare, and even worse, one also never knew when the talk would end. And the longest was I think just over 4 hours, and anyway, the least I say the better. So what he would say was, if you're feeling tired or whatever, one does this, move the hand up and down and just feel the sensations in the hand. So when the monks and the nuns were getting tired in their meditation, you could see by the hand. So sometimes it's just helped just to keep a little focus with the or being right here right now, and the hand, which we use so much in life, being aware of it. Through our hand, of course, can flow much love and kindness and warmth and affection and generosity and appreciation. But also through the hand can flow anger and greed and aggression. So out of the mind and out of the heart, it runs through down the arm, and so much can flow out of our hand in life into this world. So he used to speak a lot about the relationship of hand to the heart, hand to the mind. Very important one. So we engage in the mindfulness of breathing, not focusing, say, just on the tip of the nose, not focusing just on the rise and fall of the abdomen, though they're good practices, but more just being in contact with breathing in and breathing out as a way to bring harmony to body and mind and stay focused and present. So as I mentioned, with the tiredness, eyes open or raise the arms or raise the hand or whatever, all as a help. And the other, of course, is restlessness, which comes in the mind, and pain, which arises in the body. As we know, I'll take the pain first. As we know, for most, we can just move the usually the back or the legs a little bit, and the pain just disappears into nothing. So we're sitting, and then we're perhaps feeling some pain in the knee or in the ankle or in the back or shoulders, and we know if we just lift the shoulders up, or if we stretch the legs out, or we move the back a little bit, the pain will just present and gone. Little change, boom, disappears. But that's a privilege. That's a lucky position to be in. And sometimes pain just doesn't go away because we move. And again, can we use our meditation practices to work with the pain? And plenty of relaxation with the breathing. The more we fight the pain, it makes pressure in the mind and also pressure in the body. So in the practice of mindfulness of breathing, relaxed out-breath and relaxing through the pain as much as possible. But it isn't necessary to make it an endurance test. You're not going to get a certificate at the end of the week which says, I survived a Vipassana retreat, or I sat still without moving for 45 minutes. There are no certificates given. So in that respect, if you are experiencing a lot of pain and it's too much, then please do make some change in the posture. And if possible, to return back to the original posture. If possible, someone feeling very pain in the leg, stretch the legs out or whatever you do, and for a minute or a few minutes or whatever, and then returning to the original posture. There are in the hall here, of course, some, what you could say, hardcore yogis, and who are very familiar with the meditation, with the practice, and with the form, with the posture, and do sit regularly and very familiar with this. And for those of you who are rather new to meditation, one of our requests, and it's rather a helpful one, is please do try to be in the meditation hall punctually. And that means within about 5 or 6 minutes of the beginning of the meditation. Because I'm sure you can appreciate that if people are arriving all through the sitting, it is rather disturbing for everybody who is sitting. So our request is to be here 5 or 6 minutes. For those of you who are receiving some translation from our English, that this morning will take place right after the sitting. But of course, you may not even understand that, so we'll you didn't think of that, Dad. So, and one person will give is anybody taking any notes or anything, or is it going on memory? So I will ask in the future that some notes are taken for the evening talk and the instructions, and then the person can give a summary. But Dan has listened to me many times, but no matter how many times he has listened, he hasn't had to listen to me as many times as I have had to. But anyway, such is life. And so we want to give those people for whom, for the need translation, a good summary of the instructions and of the evening talks, etc., there, as well as with one-to-one and small groups. So, as I said, exhalation, a great help for dealing with pain. wonderful support. It's relaxing on the outgoing breath. Secondly, is restlessness. And so sometimes, rather quickly, there is a restlessness. So we are sitting and we're feeling restless, and the restlessness can be in the mind, obviously. And when the restlessness gets a little strong, it runs into the body. And when it runs into the body, we find more movement of the body. Sometimes when the mind is restless, we can find ourselves looking for the perfect posture. Let me tell you, there isn't one. So we have that problem out of the way quickly. So in Gaya House, where our retreat center in England, I refused, in a way, or didn't want to have any Buddha images in the meditation hall. We have them everywhere else. This is a major discussion at Gaya House. I won't bore you with the details. But so in the Gaya House meditation hall, which is actually a rather beautiful meditation hall, we have flowers instead. And sometimes people see these rather strong archetypal Buddha images with the Buddha sitting in the full lotus position with a smile on his face, which some of us consider a contradiction in terms. And then people get the idea that one should be able to sit, you know, in the same way. No. This is, one remember, this is just a piece of rock, you know, and we're human. And so I think flowers are better. Better. And sometimes flowers are very bright and flowery and beautiful, and sometimes we're a little wilted and tired. We're closer to flowers than to Buddha images. And in our restlessness which comes, sometimes restlessness, oh, I can't get my posture correct. And then we find ourselves in our restlessness looking around the room. And for sure, the moment we look around the room, everybody else looks perfect. And one looks, I thought, oh God, I'm so restless. And everybody else is looking so much in peace, in calm, etc. And then one kind of goes, oh, like this. And then a moment later, somebody else looks around the room. God, they're all so calm and peaceful, it's only me. So by the end of the sitting, everybody is utterly convinced everybody else is in peace except oneself. This one makes even more restless through comparing is the curse of humanity. It's the virus of the mind, is comparing ourselves with other people. So again, our meditation to be here and now, and just watch the restlessness. If we identify with the restlessness, we're feeling agitated, we're feeling unsettled, we're feeling too hot, too cold, too this, too that, etc. And we identify with it, it produces doubt. Easily, quickly. Remember sometimes one's in a relationship, and then there's a little problem in the relationship. And one identifies with the problem. One feels a bit agitated. Then in comes the doubt. Why am I in this relationship? I'm sure I could be in a better relationship. I'd be much better off living by myself, etc. So restlessness, pressure, doubt. Very close together. So in that, the doubt which will come here will usually be in the form of a mantra. Got five words to it. Extremely popular. much more popular than the Maharishi's mantra. And this mantra is, what am I doing here? Everywhere else will be better than here. Even Tel Aviv will be better than here. So popular is this mantra, what am I doing here? And one forgets that's the reason why one came. What am I doing here on this earth? What am I doing in this life? And one forgets the reason and identifies with this mantra. It's much more popular than TM. And so restlessness, and then the doubt. Can we just see? Restlessness arise, doubt arise. Can we see it come and go? Feel it, acknowledge it, recognize it, and remember, like the breath, breath comes in the moment and goes in the moment. Restlessness or doubt come and go. Can we learn just to be with this movement of mind? Great practice in life. Ceasing, come and go, come and go. And as I say, quite often, as I mentioned to you yesterday evening, particularly first and second day, more likely the mantra. So take a little practice to get used to it, coming and going, coming and going. So just in conclusion here with you, we care to the posture. It makes no difference. It doesn't matter if you sit cross-legged or in a chair. The shape of your legs has got nothing to do with wisdom. So we leave it. Sometimes they forget in India, but it's not true. And so we leave it in your good hands, or maybe your good legs, in terms of whether it's on the floor or in a chair. And sometimes people alternate, also fine with us. You know, one person on the very last retreat, which finished on Saturday at Gaia House, one of the women said to me, Krista, I've been sitting cross-legged for years. And I just thought, what would it be like to try be in the chair? And she said, I've had just such clear meditations in the chest, and really wonderful meditations. So it's the meditations which matter, as I say, meditations that matter, and to have the freedom where you wish to be, floor or chair. In matter, say, posture, being here and now, being in touch with mindfulness of breathing, extra care to the exhalation there. If you're feeling tired, have the eyes open, or put the hands on the head, or moving the hands through the air just to get steady there. If you're feeling quite awake and alert, eyes can be closed, breathing in and breathing out to reduce the stress, any tension, concentrate the mind, focus the attention, be grounded there. If there is pain, breathing on the out-breath, plenty of relaxation. And if the pain is too much, of course, make some change to the posture, with the view to coming back to the posture that you started with, so that we have a sense in life that we're not running away from something, we're not avoiding, we're not escaping, but we're just coming back to the original posture. And all of this to help make us grounded and centered human beings, so that we are grounded with the present, which means we can look at the past clearly, because we're grounded now, and we look at the future much more clearly, because we're grounded now. If we're not grounded now, we can't remember things clearly, and we can't plan or look into the future clearly either. So the key to the past, present and future is being centered and grounded here and now. So if we have a 15-minute meditation together, and at the end of the 15-minute period, I'll speak to you about the standing posture and the walking meditation. So initially just checking that the posture is reasonably straight and upright. If one is feeling rather alert and with some energy, mindfulness of breathing, so that we experience some expansion as we breathe in and some contraction, relaxation as we breathe out. Giving that little bit of extra care to the exhalation as a contribution to making us steady in the here and now. remaining 2 minutes, being mindful of breathing in and breathing out, to be present and alert to the here and now.